Epiphany is Christ revealed in Jesus. Christ revealed in Jesus. And then Christ revealed among us. And today we heard two testimonies. That is a witness. Two people who have borne witness to something they saw and something they believed about what they saw. So the first of them was Paul. We read about Paul writing to a community who were in conflict. There was great upheaval happening. So many issues that he wrote four letters, of which we only have two available for us to read. But how complicated was the story of this community? And yet, Paul is convinced that the testimony, that is the witness that they were bearing, that they were seeing Christ in and among them, and it was strengthening them to be more than they thought they could be. And this witness was linked to Jesus of Nazareth. The second testimony we read is that of the Apostle John. John writes later than Paul, and he writes using the words of John the Baptizer, the story that we did with the children this morning. And for John, as soon as this dove descended onto this human being, for John, in the language of his time, in the Old Testament language, he assigned this name to Jesus. Look, he says, the Lamb of God. A dove descended. John himself bears witness to this man as being God-like God. This is their testimony. This is the testimony of two people. It is how they interpreted their experience and how it enriched and strengthened them. My friends, giving testimony is a scary experience because it is not only saying what happened, it is saying what we think happened. Like, it's an interpretation of what happened. How is God visible to us? These testimonies rose out of their lived experience. For John the Baptist, a dove. For Paul, a blinding light of Christ. Now, for us as Christ followers in this century, each of us has to make a decision about who we believe Jesus the man is. For these two witnesses, Jesus the man, as they looked back post-resurrection, was also the Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. We too have to make that decision. We too have to come to a point of understanding for ourselves, and each of us will come to that decision differently as we experience, as we read the Gospels, as we hear the stories each week, who Jesus is and who the Christ is and how those two things come together. So by Christ, I am meaning that visible expression of God, that visible expression of God. Jesus of Nazareth, the historical Jesus of Nazareth, is not only about a memory in our history. Jesus of Nazareth is the fullest expression of Christ that we have as Christians. And it doesn't only end there. The figure of Jesus stands at the center of our Christian identity and practice, but it also continues because Christ, God visible to us, continues. God continues to reveal God's self to us. So I'm going to geek out a little bit this morning, and I'm going to just share with you three ways in history that people have sought to solve this puzzle of how to put Jesus and Christ together. The first way is prior Enlightenment, before the 18th century, where Jesus and Christ were indistinguishable. In fact, it almost seemed like Christ was Jesus' last name, Jesus Christ. It was a way that we understood as a tradition, Jesus being the Son of God. And this was a very faithful following of the way that we thought during those times. It was a dominant way. We believe that the Gospels faithfully preserved the memory that Jesus had left his followers. It was a set of assumptions that don't take into account the historical critical method that's emerged in human history over the last 200 years. And so during these last 200 years, a second way of pulling this together or of wrestling with this puzzle has emerged. And some call it the modern quest. What do we think of Jesus? How do we understand Christ? And when we brought this historical critical method to the gospel stories, we started to wonder what happened and what was people's interpretation of what happened. And so the wrestling of the Jesus seminar, of trying to understand where the historical, genuine moments happened in the life of Jesus emerged. We can now no longer read the gospel and just go, oh, well, that happened. Now we read it through a different lens. And we start asking, well, if that was really a human context, nothing can happen then that couldn't happen now. So how do we piece that together? Faith statements about Jesus are permissible in this way of understanding within the limits of reason alone. And so when we read the Gospels in this second way, we understand them as a story told after Easter resurrection, and these people interpreting that Christ-like image of Jesus back onto all the moments of his life. But there is a third way. There's a third way that's newly emerging in our way of reading scripture. And some call it the postmodern approach. Well, you know, when you go postmodern, then that runs out and you have to go post-postmodern, and that runs out and you have to go post-post-postmodern. But whatever it is, it's this idea that the text is what we have. And we can no longer distinguish between what was really history and what is people's interpretation of history. They seem to be one and the same. It is a told story, important enough to us. Truth, not in the sense of a historical truth, but truth in the sense that this is so important, it's worth putting our lives on. That kind of truth. The stories then get passed down and kept in our tradition so that you and I can follow these teachings of Jesus. Whichever way you read the text, whichever way you are faithful for you to the reading of these texts, what is most important is that when we read them, Christ, that is the living God among us, becomes real to you now. That's what's most important. And so as people committed to following this way of Jesus, we open ourselves up to be transformed by a God we believe we will still encounter now. Incarnated, enfleshed, in the real things of every day, in the knocks we have, in the way we argue with each other, in the way we love each other, we encounter Christ, and we read ourselves into the story and the way of Jesus and his followers. That is our faith. That is what we are called to. That makes all the difference. So we open ourselves each week to follow and read these stories, to encounter Christ. But we also open ourselves up to the visible expression of God in our world today. God, my friends, I believe with all my being, is still active in our world, visible to us, if we will see. And this Jesus of Nazareth hinted at this. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed as the Christ, and then he anointed us also. We go through water baptism. We get anointed with oil and with the Spirit. Jesus was this torchbearer that carried light, and then he handed it to us and said, "Now you go and be the light of this world. You, us." So Christ was revealed in Jesus. And now Christ is revealed in us, you and me, Christians, little Christs in our world. That is the hope of our world, us being light and love where we go. And so I'm going to now invite Hugh Crossway to come and give us one example of a time when he encountered the risen Christ in the actions of another. Welcome, Hugh.
I want to tell you a story, an event related to a young boy and a specific incident in his life. All this happened recently as he and his family lived out their lives in a very normal way, family concern for ethics, morality, care and compassion for others. Not overtly Christian as a family, secular you would say, some Christian influences, certainly not churchgoers, and certainly my hero of the story would not know anything about the four spiritual laws, for sure. However, he lived a life full of kindness and wisdom. This was recognized by his family, friends, and teachers. He was regularly asked by friends to come to dinner at their homes. For his school, I think he held the record for dinner invitations. Teachers noted his kindness and wrote about it in report cards that were sent home to his parents. When the first disabled child enrolled in their school, he was the student asked to be the one to move her in her wheelchair from class to class as needed throughout the day. About a year ago, an incident took place without the involvement of any adults, I would add. He was involved in trading sport cards. You know, the NHL players and the Major League Baseball cards that we have where we try to get all the famous players, we try to get a whole team. And I remember trading them as a little guy, and there were only six NHL teams at that point, so it was really an easy undertaking. But he was trading sport cards with his friends. This was frowned upon by the school. I think it was too engaging or more interesting than school. So they, as a group, moved to the boys' washroom, and during the day they would meet and at certain times of the day, and the talk, the negotiation, and trading of these precious cards would take place. In the midst of one of these sessions, my hero saw one of the participants steal a very valuable card from a smaller boy. Unbeknownst to the victim at the time, he had lost a valued possession. Now, life is all about choices. What are your choices when you see this happen? What could he have done? Confront the thief? Get in a fight with the thief? Try and take the card back? Report the thief to the authorities or to the victim? Or badmouth him and maybe shame him into returning the card? All are possibilities. Instead of these actions, what he did was he found a time to approach the thief and negotiated the return of the card in question. The thief said, "There's two cards I want," and he named the specific players. So he went home that evening, found the two cards in his collection, and brought them to school the next day. He traded for the stolen card and returned it to his original owner, to its original owner, sorry. I was in awe when I heard this. I still am. I don't know what went through his mind in making the choice he made, but I do know he chose the route of peace, humility, and nonviolence. He chose reconciliation, restoration, and self-sacrifice. And then it struck me, boy, this sounds like Jesus. As we know, if it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck. The most wondrous thing and the most difficult thing to focus on is that I conclude that I see Jesus in this little boy. Jesus at work, Jesus inspiring him, working through him, in him, and around him. Jesus is alive in our world, caring for others. Everything's wrong about this situation. It happened in a washroom, for goodness sakes. There's no theology that's right that backs it all up. The little boy was 8 years old when he did it. Yet I have seen Jesus at work. I will continue to watch this young man as I am able. Inspired by his example, I will seek to act as Jesus acts. And I pray to have the wisdom that he possesses. Amen.